Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you, and so good to have those of you joining us online today. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online family? Come on, let's cheer for them. Well, my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. So how many of you enjoyed your pastelitos and your coffee on your way in today? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, come on. Some Easter pastelitos just for you. Now, but back to coffee for just a moment. I wonder how many of you, like, you absolutely have to have that cup of coffee to get you up in the morning. Let me see your hands. You've got to have a cup of coffee in the morning to get you going. Yeah. Okay, I see that. If you're online with us right now, just put in the chat. That's me. See, some of you, it's Easter every day because you rise from the dead with that cup of coffee every day. Every day. You say, it's a necessity. I can't live life without coffee. For some of you, it might not be coffee. You say, you know, honestly, I can't live life without my phone. Or I can't live life without Wi-Fi or Netflix or AC or... But you know, there is one thing none of us can live without. Regardless of your age, your gender, what language you speak, there is one thing no human being can live without, and that is hope. We need hope. And most people don't understand hope. Most people think that hope is optimism. And look, nothing wrong with optimism. Optimism is fantastic. It sure beats pessimism. But optimism is psychological. Hope is spiritual. Optimism is trusting in circumstance. Hope is trusting in God. And speaking of circumstance, you know, I know it's Easter today, Easter Sunday. Everybody's looking good, feeling good. Looking forward to being with family later on today. But look, if we can get honest here for just a moment, this past year has not been easy for many of you, me included. The challenges, what some of you have faced this past year, some of you, challenges with relationships. Some of you, challenges with health. Some of you, just challenges. Some of you lost a loved one this past year. Some of you might have lost a loved one this past week. Some of you might have a relationship. Some of you, a marriage fell apart. Some of you have been disappointed in a dream or in a desire or a goal or an ambition, and things just haven't worked out the way you wanted them to. And for some of you, this is not the first time. It's happening again. And when these things happen over and over again, it can very easily lead to hopelessness. So here's my question. Where do you find hope? Today, on Easter weekend, I want to introduce you to three people. All of them were on the brink of hopelessness, but then they discovered something that turned their lives around. I want to introduce you to these three people. But before I do that, I would love for you to do something. I'd love for you to locate some message notes. You got some Bible verses. You can track with me with message notes. Now, message notes are not in print form. They're actually virtual. You find them on our Miami Vineyard app. So if you haven't yet downloaded our app, here's how you do it. You simply go to the App Store, your App Store, search Miami Vineyard. You can download it like that. Or if you're in the room today, you can simply scan this in front of you. There's a card and a seat back. Scan the QR code, and the app will come right up. You get the app downloaded. You tap on This Weekend, tap on Message Notes, and the notes will be right there, both in English and Espanol, right there in your message notes. Bible verses are there, things that track with me today. So let me begin with the first person. Growing up, she had a rough childhood. She wrestled thoughts. Just pounding her mind, almost demons in her mind. She grew up with just every day, you suck. You're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. These voices in her head just kept pounding her. She wasn't good enough. She would never be good enough. And you might imagine day after day, week after week, month after month, that when she became an adult with these voices just haunting her, she felt unloved, unwanted, and unworthy. She desperately wanted to be set free from the mental and emotional toll. She was sick of feeling this way. She was sick of seeing herself this way. But no matter how hard she tried, nothing seemed to change. There was no way out. She felt hopeless. Until one day, she came in contact with someone that would change everything. Because for the first time, this person didn't see her for how she saw herself. He valued her. He loved her. He treated her with dignity and respect that every human being deserves. And this person did more than just that. He liberated her. He set her free to be everything that God designed her to be. She was experiencing a major life change that she never knew. And people around her begin to notice. I mean, if you knew this woman before and you knew her now, it's hard to believe she's even the same person. Some of you, on Facebook, you've been able to locate maybe a high school friend. Like, you remember them from high school, and you find them on Facebook, and you see them now. And you're going, oh my God, what happened to them? You're going, ¿qué pasó? I mean, it's like major change. But this person, she was like a new woman. She was filled with hope and joy. And she was finally conquering her demons. She was like a brand new person. Until one day, it all came crashing down around her. In a matter of 24 hours, this guy was arrested, taken to custody, indicted on a major felony. They fixed the jury. They put him on death row. And with no chance of appeal, they executed him, buried him. He was gone. This woman was devastated. I mean, if you've ever lost anyone tragically, I mean, losing anyone at any time is hard. But if you lose someone tragically, like here today and gone tomorrow, you know how your world just spins. Time just stops. It just, everything just spins and spins and spins. And so this woman is dealing with all of this. Flowers and just want to be at the grave and just want to process all this has been what went down. And as she gets to the graveside, she notices there's dirt kind of all over the place. And she's standing there and this guy walks up to her and says, is everything okay? And he called her by name. He said, Mary. And she knew instantly it was him. It was Jesus. It was the man who set her free. He was alive. She reaches out to give him a huge hug, and we pick up the story in the Bible. It's actually a story out of the Bible. We pick up the story in the Bible. John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus says to Mary, Mary, don't cling to me, Jesus said, but go find my brothers and tell them that I'm alive. So Mary found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Now, notice what's happening here. Mary thinks it's hopeless. It's over. It's finished. It's done. But Jesus changes everything with one single word. He simply says her name, Mary. You know, when you love somebody, all you have to do is hear their voice and you know who it is. When my wife, Debbie, calls me on the phone and she says, Kevin, I don't say, who's this? And if I say, who's this, it's going to be a long night. That's all I'm saying. But that's exactly what's happening here with Mary Magdalene. When Jesus says her name, she knows who it is. Mary, it's me. Mary, I see you. I know you're feeling hopeless, but Mary, I'm alive. And the same Jesus is looking out at you today and seeing you. He's saying, Lisa, Juan, Stephanie, Dwayne, I see you. I see you. I see the hopelessness you're going through. I see the despair that you have. I see. He says, I see you. I see you. But he says, I know you're hurting, and it might seem hopeless now, but hope is alive. Hope is alive. And here's the first thing I want you to write down if you're taking notes today. Ready? First thing, hope is alive for a miracle. Hope is alive for a miracle. Now look, I don't know what you're going through right now. But what do you have happening in your life right now where you're saying, that's impossible, it's just not going to happen? You're saying, I've been searching and searching for a job that I love. I'm never going to find a job. I've been trying for years, but I'm never going to get out of debt. I've done every online dating app there is, and I'm never going to get married. Or maybe you get married and you say, we're never going to have kids, and you have kids and you say, they're never going to leave home. I'm never going to graduate. I'm never going to get that degree. I'm never going to break free from this addiction, this health issue, this mental health issue. Listen. You've got to know today that hope is alive for a miracle. It's alive for a miracle. Some of you, here's what happens with us. We experience something for so long and we don't see a change for so long that we just think it's going to be that way the rest of my life. And we call it normal. And I want to encourage you today to believe again because God is alive. It's what Easter is all about. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he said, I have conquered sin and death once and for all, and I have conquered everything in your life. So look, do something with me. Just everybody, just breathe in. Just take a deep breath in. And now breathe out. And just breathe in the hope that Jesus is alive. There's hope that my life can change, that my life can change, that Jesus Christ is alive, that hope is alive for a miracle. Hope is alive for a miracle. Hope is alive for a miracle. That's person number one. That's Mary. Let me give you person number two. His name is Thomas. Thomas, let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody who's maybe not the sharpest knife in the drawer? Maybe they're a few fries short of a happy meal. You know, they just... I mean, don't look at them right now. I mean, come on, this is Easter. I see somebody going, yeah, I see, yeah. Look, if you're joining us online right now, just put that person's name in the chat. No, don't, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, that's kind of how some people saw Thomas. Now, Thomas was one of the 12 followers of Jesus. And by the way, none of the disciples believed that Jesus was going to rise from the dead again. Nobody really believed him. None of them did. But when Jesus did rise from the grave, he went and visited the other disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. So he doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. No, I don't believe it. He doesn't believe it. He says, until I see him for myself, until I take a selfie with the man, I'm not believing it. That's why to this day, we have the phrase, doubting Thomas. This is where it came from. Doubting Thomas. But honestly, you know, I kind of like this guy, Thomas, because he had honest doubts. He had a, you know, I kind of like somebody who's honest, asking those honest questions. A healthy skepticism can be a good thing in life, especially when you get that email from the Prime Minister of Nigeria. It can be a really good thing. So we pick up this story, Thomas's story, in the Bible, John chapter 20. It says, verse 26, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, meaning 8 days after Jesus appeared to them the first time, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. He said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound on my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus said, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway. Now, I mean, a couple of things about this that I really love. First of all, notice Jesus doesn't criticize Thomas for his doubts. He doesn't criticize Thomas. He doesn't put Thomas down. I mean, but think about it. I mean, he could have. I mean, think about it. Thomas has been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus has told his disciples over and over again, listen, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. So you could, I mean, so here's Thomas doubting it. Jesus could have been, Thomas, dude, bro, you've been with me 3.5 years. Thomas, I've told you this over and over and over again. Thomas, what gives? He didn't say any of those things. He didn't put Thomas down. He just said, look, put your fingers here. Put your hand here. Some of you in this room today, you probably have some doubts. I know you're here, online, you're here, but you might have some doubts like this. Doubts about Easter, doubts about God, doubts about Jesus, doubts about the Bible, doubts about church, doubts about all kinds of things. But you're here. But you might have some honest doubts. Listen, God's not putting you down for honest doubts. He's not. He's not putting you down. He's saying, investigate those doubts. Check those doubts out. Pursue those doubts. See if what you believe is really true or not. Check it out. But Jesus never calls people out. He calls people in. And Jesus today is calling you in. He's calling you in. Look, you don't have to have every question answered in your mind to say yes to Jesus. You're going to have some questions. I've been following Jesus for many years. I still got questions. You're still going to have questions. You're not going to have everything figured out. You can have some honest doubts. But here's what I want you to write down if you got those message notes open. Here's number two. Hope is alive to start believing. Hope is alive to start believing. Today's your day. Some of you have believed in Jesus. You have, but a whole lot of life has gone down. People have said things, you've heard things, you've experienced things, and you just don't know if you have faith to believe again. Hope is alive to believe again. Today is your day to believe again. So that's Mary's story. That's Thomas's story. I told you I got three stories. Let me give you one more story. This one is a guy named Peter. Now, Peter you've probably heard of because Peter is one of the most famous of the 12 followers of Jesus. You had to like Peter. Peter was this guy. You just like Peter was brash. He was out there. He was impulsive. He was bold. And one time Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples. And he was telling them again, look, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. But he said, look, before I die, they're going to arrest me. And he looks at all of his 12 disciples and he says, all y'all, Jesus said. And that's the word he used back in the day, all y'all. That's the original Greek in the Bible, all y'all. So he says, look, he says, all of you are going to leave me in that moment when they arrest me. And Peter says, Jesus, they might all leave you, but I won't. Because I am Peter, dot, da, da, da. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny you know me three times. Some of you know the story. Jesus does get arrested. He gets hauled off to this courthouse, and all of the disciples scatter. Peter doesn't scatter quite as far. Peter is outside in the courtyard area while Jesus is inside in this mock sham of a trial. But he's afraid. He's afraid. He's afraid. He doesn't want to have happen to him what just happened to Jesus. So he's out there in the courtyard. And some different people see him and kind of recognize him and said, wait, you're one of his followers. He said, no, I'm not. Somebody else walks up and says, yeah, you are. You are. He says, no, I am not. A third person walks up to him and says, you definitely are one of his followers. I can tell by your accent. And Peter drops the F-bomb. He says, I don't bleep and know the man. And just then, the rooster crows. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. And you can imagine how he felt. I mean, this is a man he gave his life for. He gave up everything to follow. 3.5 years he followed this guy. And now in the crunch, in the moment when he needs him most, he denies that he even knows him. He's just filled with anguish in his soul. It devastates him. He's filled with guilt and remorse and regret and shame. But Jesus has some words of hope for Peter. We pick up this story in John chapter 21. It says, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Then he asked him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you really love me? Peter was grieved. He kept asking him the same question. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, the first thing I want you to notice in this passage is this, that Peter was the original Jonas brother. I just want you to know that. First thing you got to get. But look, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three. How many times did Jesus ask him if he loved him? Three. What's he doing? He's undoing those three denials. He's forgiving those three denials. He's restoring Peter back. And he does the same thing to you and me. He forgives, he restores us back. Now look, let me speak to some of you that you've been followers of Jesus for a while. You consider yourself a Christian, or you, at least you did. There are some things that you said you would never do, and you've done. There's some things you would never, I would never do that. And you have. And you know it was wrong. You just know. Your conscience tells you it was wrong. And you're just like Peter before Jesus appeared to him. You're just, what you've done, you're here. I got it. You're in the room. You're online. I got it. You're here. But you've kind of taken yourself out of the game. You've said, yes, I'm still a follower of Jesus. Peter was still a follower of Jesus, but he didn't ever feel he could be restored back. Peter benched himself, and some of you have benched yourself because you feel like what you've done could never be forgiven to put me back on God's A-team. I want to tell you today, Easter Sunday is all about the resurrection, all about restoration. Come back to Christ this Easter. Come back. Hope is alive. Hope is alive. Hope is alive. Hope is alive. No matter what your journey may be, no matter what your story may be, hope is alive for a fresh start.
Hi, my name's Lizette, and this is my story. By 17, I find out that I'm pregnant. I had gotten out of a terrible relationship that was emotionally and physically abusive. I had like $3 to my name. I didn't have any money. And with my $3, I catch the bus and I get there to do my pregnancy test. And as the lady's giving me the results, she gives me a card and she gives me her number and she says, hey, I'd like to invite you to my church. And so at 17, I'm a high school dropout. I had been involved with gangs, drugs, alcohol, an abusive relationship. I was definitely not somebody who you would find at church. Somewhere in my second trimester, I find this phone number and I call that lady. And she answers and she says, sure, I'll pick you up. So I remember the day she picked me up with her son. And we go to Southwest Senior High. And when I get there, there's Dunkin' Donuts and everybody's so nice. And then there's guitars and drums and clapping and amazing music. And there's this young pastor, energetic, and the message he was speaking was like if he was speaking directly to me. And so I went a couple of weekends to these services, and I did the prayer at the end of the service where they say, if you accept Jesus into your heart and into your life, and that was Miami Vineyard. So I went, for a couple weekends, maybe a couple months. So I get my act together, I have my son, and I remember promising my son that I was gonna provide him a better life than what I had. Life happened, drifted away, went through many other trials, met my husband, who was amazing, a gift from God. So I managed to go to school, become a nurse. We were married, and I decided to tell my husband, hey, we can't raise our family, we need God. So I Google, and I find Miami Vineyard again. And so I go back to Miami Vineyard. This must have been like 2011, and we were located by the zoo. And there's Pastor Kevin again. And so I take my husband. He wasn't so willing to come. He was like, I don't know. And once he saw the music and the message, he loved it. And we stayed, and our family loved it. Our children loved going. So around 2018, I drifted away from the church. And with that, my family drifted away from the church. And just a lot of different circumstances happened. And then 2020 comes, and we went through such a difficult season as a family. It was the most difficult season of my life, considering I've been through terrible things in the past. But this was just the hardest. With open arms and welcoming as always, I'm back at the vineyard, and my faith has grown stronger. I do Bible study now. I attend small groups. So Celebrate Recovery has been instrumental in helping me and growing my faith along with the church. This last time was really like the major fresh start. So it's taken me 43 years to realize this, but it's never too late to get a second chance. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be here, ready to receive. And I just love that Miami Vineyard's always been there with open arms, welcoming me back.
I love that story. I especially love the part about a young pastor. What a story. Hope is alive this Easter. It was alive for Mary. It was alive for Thomas. It was alive for Peter. It was alive for Lisette. And it's alive for you. Hope is alive this Easter. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, Jesus Christ wants to forgive you. He wants to restore you. He wants to give you the life that you've always been looking for. Some of you have been searching. You're just searching. You've tried everything to find meaning and significance in life. Nothing satisfies. You've tried money. You've tried sex. You've tried jobs. You've tried career. You've tried everything. Nothing satisfies. I'm telling you, there's only one that satisfies, and that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Today, this Easter, hope. I want to invite you this Easter to open your life to this hope, to open your life to Jesus Christ. He wants to connect with you. He wants to have a relationship with you in a very real way. You know, before you were ever born, God knew you'd be sitting in this room online with us right now today. He knew. Before you were ever born, God knew. He could get you quiet long enough so you could hear these words. You matter to me. You matter more than you can ever know. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to give his life for you so that you could have life. Meaning, you could be in a relationship with me. That's why God sent Jesus. Hope is alive. Hope is alive. And so, I want you to, if you notice something, I want you to, if you got that, the message notes open, on the message notes there, I printed a prayer. In just a moment, I'm going to pray that prayer. It's a prayer of connection. It's a prayer of connecting to God and saying, I want Jesus. I want God. I want this connection. I want this hope. It's a prayer like that. But before I pray that prayer, I would just love to pray for you for just a moment. Maybe can I just ask us to just maybe bow our heads together for just a moment in the room and online if you're able to just join us right now, just to bow your heads, just to block out distractions. And as our heads are bowed, God is in this space. He's in your space, whatever space it is, he's in your space. He's in this place today. You can sense it. You can feel it. And God, listen, God is calling. God is calling you to himself. He's calling you home. Some of you, he's calling you home again. Some of you, he's inviting you to believe again. There's a million things that are happening right now in this room. But God is, the Holy Spirit is moving through this place. You can sense it. You can feel it. You can experience it. God, we thank you for your presence that's in this space today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your hope that's alive in you. Thank you, God. So, Father, as I look out at these faces today, these are people that you love, that you created, that you value, that you made. And, Father, there are people here today who have never begun this relationship with you. They know you. They know you exist. But they've never begun this relationship with you. I pray this Easter that you'd give them the courage and the hope to begin this relationship with you. So look, if you want this relationship with Jesus, you want this hope, or if you want this again, then I'm going to pray this prayer right now out loud. As I pray it out loud, you just pray it inside. You just say, me too, me too, me too. As I pray it out loud, you just pray it inside. So here we go. Dear God, I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I open my life to you. Thank you for loving me, for knowing everything about me. I need new hope. I need new direction. I need new strength. And what I realize today is that I need you. So right now, as sincerely as possible, I ask you to come into my life. Make me a new person. Give me the hope that comes from knowing you. Today, Jesus, I commit my life to you. Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.